listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
And I'll tell you, friends, on this very fine day, it's not only Doug Padgett and gang, but Sam is in today. Hey, Sam, nice to have you aboard on a busy Friday around here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
It's fun to be here on a Friday.
Yeah, hey, lovely outside again. Apparently, though, if you're living in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Twin Cities area, they're saying snow tomorrow. Boy, that was a quick summer. It just really went by this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 38, maybe a little snow. Hey, Sam, we're going to have a busy day today. We've got commentator, lawyer, law school professor, and, you know, just all-around cable television star, Richard Painter, on with us to give us an update on still the unredacted version of the Mueller report, which is just driving that guy crazy.
Richard's,
it's just, it's an earworm that he just can't seem to get rid of. It's eating at him. So we're going to try to get to the bottom of some of that. And then at the bottom of the hour, we have one of our Friday regulars, astrophysicist Paul Wallace. And yeah, but before that, because it's Friday, Sam, we like to do the news quiz around here. A little chance for us to not only recap some of the headlines of the news, but just to test our own skills and how we've kept up. And you were saying before we came on air that that you're not overly confident in your in your news trivia for the week. So if there's ever a moment, Sam, that we're unsure, we're going with you. All right, we're going to get you out of that. So we're going to get you out of that slump. All right, so question number one. There's 10 of these. These are the ones that are produced by the Star and Tribune, their news quiz for the week. The White House blocked subpoenas this week, preventing whom from testifying before congressional committees? Now, their question says preventing who from testifying. I don't know if it's who or whom, but I should go with the Star Tribune. The White House has blocked subpoenas this week, which I'm not even sure they can block a subpoena.
Yeah.
But anyway, who was it that they said couldn't testify before Congress under the obligation of a subpoena? Donald McGahn, Stephen Miller, Carl Klein, all of the above, none of the above.
Oof.
Mm. I'm going with all of the above.
All of the above?
You comfortable with that?
I'll fall. I was going to say Stephen Miller mostly because he's the one I recognize the most, but maybe yes, all of the above.
It was all of them, all three of them. They've said they can block all of them, which is a little shocking because they're not claiming executive privilege.
Yeah,
they're just saying they've answered enough. They're just calling a timeout. They're just a soccer coach, you know, for the Pee Wee League, and they're just calling the game because the kids are worn out.
10-run rule or something, or
that's right. They're getting beaten badly enough. They're gonna call it. That's a good point. Hey, by the way, did you see Trump had some tweet out today about it that he's the best hostage negotiator ever?
Yeah.
He's freed 20 hostages. I don't get into Twitter battles, but I wanted to write back and say, firing someone from your administration is not what they mean by being a hostage, freeing a hostage.
Yeah. If that was the case, yeah, that would be the most accurate tweet he's ever written.
And then they could do those little 20 pictures of people that have to stand behind him with that hostage video looking, look on their face.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Question number two, true or false? I like these cause I love living in the illusion of a binary world.
These ones are
world.
Easy for me. Yeah.
Yeah, true or false. The high school graduation gap between students of color and white students in Minnesota hit an all-time high in 2018. The difference between people of color graduating and what are determined to be white kids graduating had the biggest gap of all time. True or false? I'm giving this one to you, Sam.
I'd like to say false, but I think that something's making me lean that it's true.
We're going to go true? Yeah. I guess it wouldn't really be a news story.
Yeah.
Incorrect.
It is false. Okay.
False.
Well, that's...
While the overall graduation race hit an all-time high in 2018, the graduation gap between has been steadily declining over the years. Well, good. That's... See, that's it. Guys like us that are just being pessimists.
I'm glad to be wrong there.
I am too. Oh, here's a sad question. How much did North Korea charge the United States for the medical care of Otto Wambier, the American college student who fell into a coma the night that he was sentenced to 15 years in prison after he pulled down a propaganda sign at a hotel in Pyongyang? How much did North Korea charge the United States for his medical care? Nothing. $525,699. $1.2 million or $2 million.
I'm pretty sure I did see this one, and I'm pretty sure it said $2 million.
Let's go with it. $2 million. Yep, $2 million. Yeah. Correct answer. So while Donald Trump tweeted today, "I've never paid any money," they paid $2 million. I don't even know if it's been paid yet or not. The U.S. official had to sign a pledge that the United States would pay $2 million to disclose this week before he would be released. So Trump did negotiate the release and then said, "We will pay you $2 million for the medical care that you provided to someone that you beat to death."
Yeah, quote unquote medical care. Like, really, their care ended up ending his life.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
We're basically they're spending $2 million so North Korea could kill one of our citizens.
Yeah, that's called paying for hostages.
Yeah, that's awful.
Who resigned this week from Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board after a dust up over the hiring processes for a $100,000 a year job? Was it Mark Phillips, Lori Janinopoulos, Joe Radnovic, or Rick Nolan? Don't have any idea what this question is referring to.
I don't either. And there's only one name on there that I am a little bit familiar with, and that's Rick Nolan. But I'm
Let's go with Rick Nolan because we know it. Nope, incorrect. It was Joe Radnovic. Yeah, yeah. We should have gotten that one.
I was going to guess that one just because it was such a crazy name. I don't know if that's a good criteria
I think up by the Iron Range, he's a congressman that ran. The administration told five countries, Japan, South Korea, Turkey, China, and India, that they will no longer be exempt from U.S. sanction if they continue to import oil from what country? From Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia. I know which one it should be.
I'm going to guess Iran.
And I know which one it is. Yes, it was Iran. I should click on it first. Yep, it was Iran.
That sounds about right.
They're not only going back on the nuclear deal, but now they're going to say that they're going to impose sanctions against those. The United States is implying that it's going to put sanctions on Japan, South, our own allies in Asia. There's almost nothing Trump doesn't touch that isn't a just living disaster. I mean, look, his personal destruction of the presidency is something that's been highly acclaimed, for sure. Mm-hmm. But people that argue, "But I really love his policies," that's the part that's so confusing to me. If he was a wonderful guy and I felt like, "Oh, I just really like him. I just like the way he honors the country. I like the way he respects people. I like the way," I would still have to say, but his policies are unbelievably wrongheaded. It's just, he's wrong in substance, wrong in style. Mm-hmm. Hey, what Minnesota-based company said it would cut 2,000 jobs this week? Well, they said this week they would cut 2,000 jobs after posting weak quarterly results. It's a Minnesota company. Was it 3M, Best Buy, Target, U.S. Bank Corp?
Oh, I thought I heard about this too, but it's not coming to me.
Oh, boy, I don't know. Who would have 2,000 jobs to cut? I don't know.
I almost want to say 3M, but I'm not. I don't know why. But maybe not.
We're going with you, Sam, and it's a good thing we did.
Is that it?
Correct. Nice. Yeah, sales fell 5% in the first quarter and 11% overall in Wall Street's expectations, so they're going to fire some people. If you don't meet Wall Street expectations, if your investors don't get their returns, someone's going to lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, 3M. There's no permanent bond with 3M. They're more like a sticky note.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Fall off the wall.
They make sticky notes. James Holzhauer continued to dominate on Jeopardy this week, which, by the way, Jeopardy is spelled with an exclamation point in the official name. I didn't know that till looking at it right now. On Jeopardy this week, now holding the record for the 7 highest one-day scores. What does he do for a living? College professor, janitor, hedge fund manager, or professional sports gambler?
Oof, I have zero clue.
I'm going to say he's a professional sports gambler. I think I heard something about that. Or maybe that's a hedge fund manager. or maybe those are the same thing.
Are they the same thing?
Professional sports gambler, yes. He's a Jeopardy winner, totaling $1.1 million. Wow.
Wow.
That almost pays for your medical care if you're beaten to death by the North Koreans.
Yeah, almost.
Hey, shouldn't make jokes about that. Sam, we're going to blame that one on you. Hey, what Twin Cities annual festival was canceled this week after failing to raise enough money to cover its expenses? Was it the Twin Cities Pride Parade, Grand Old Day Parade, Edina Arts Festival, not a chance on that one, Stone Arch Bridge Festival?
Oof.
I know this one.
I didn't hear anything about this. I'm very familiar with Grand Old Days, though, and I really hope that's not the answer.
Well, let's go with that anyway, Sam. And yes, it is the Grand Old Days Parade. Yes.
So that's not happening this year.
Canceled.
Wow. Yeah,
maybe it's just a hostage situation where they're trying to get more, you know, a little bit of funding. Huh. Hey, who was the Vikings' top draft pick this week? I didn't follow this just the other day. Rashawn Gary, Nick Bosa, Garrett Bradbury, or Quinnen Williams?
Oof, am I allowed to phone a friend? I think my brother was at the draft. I have no idea.
I would have no. Your brother went to the draft?
I'm pretty sure. He went to a viewing party, I think. Maybe not.
Do you know any of those names? Do any of those names ring a bell to you in the slightest?
Not a single one.
Well, let's go with Garrett Bradbury because it just that's a fun name.
Yeah.
You good with that?
Yeah.
Let's go with Garrett Bradbury. Hey, correct.
Hey.
Unbelievable. Just made a guess.
There we go.
Fun name. Mr. Fun Name Bradbury. All right. Question number 8. No, question number 10. As of this week, who is not officially running for president in 2020? Joe Biden, Cory Booker, Stacey Abrams, Julian Castro.
I know it's not Biden. He's been talked about all the time.
Biden's running.
Yeah, he's running. So I know he's not the answer here.
In more ways than one, in my opinion. I've been a big Joe supporter at different times in his life, but good grief, give it up.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's Stacey Abrams, pretty sure, because I know I've watched the other ones of them. Stacey Abrams. Hey, how did we do, people are asking? We got the proverbial nice job from the Star Tribune, which really isn't all that nice of a job. It was 70%. You did pretty well.
I'll take it.
Take the quiz again and see if you can get a perfect score this time. They literally tell you the right answers, so I think it's pretty easy. Hey, so that's the news quiz. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Richard Painter, and then we'll talk with an astrophysicist. So we'll talk out of this world Mueller report and out of this world space. I'm the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Sorry, Sam. Go ahead. You can run the bit.
You are listening to the 4 o'clock Repartee, which kind of like means conversation between people or something. Something like that.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to one, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to one for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Art lovers, it's time to celebrate, learn about, and collect local art at the St. Paul Art Crawl, running April 26th to 28th. The Spring St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you will have the chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artists' studios, lofts, and galleries. Up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 34 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for your own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community, too, with free transit passes. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at stpaulartcrawl.org. That's stpaulartcrawl.org.
Hi, this is Paul Metza from the Wall of Power Radio Hour. You are about to hear my buddies, the Cool Cats, Hunter, Doug, and Brett, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Tune in and check those dudes out.
Hey, all, welcome to the Repartee. A little conversation here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, we talk about all kinds of things that have to do with progressive ideas, causes, and politics. And we're going to be talking with Richard Painter here in a minute. Richard's good enough to join us many Fridays to give us a little update on the Mueller report. But sometimes he's busy doing some other media. You know, he's commonly, often on cable news. And Sam, let me know when Richard has joined us in voice.
No worries. I'm trying them right now.
Okay, great, great. Hey, so I was during the break. If you listen on the radio during the commercials, sometimes I listen to the commercials. Sometimes Sam and I are making our plans for what's coming. Sometimes I talk just to the live feed. So when I'm running the show, I have a little feed that runs, and during the commercials, I have a little conversation. And I was saying, boy, you know, it's been a long week since the Mueller report came out, and I had to stop, count the days. Look back on the internet to assure myself that it was just a week ago yesterday that the Mueller report came out. It's only been 8 days since that thing came out. It feels to me like, you know, just an overwhelming amount of consequence has struck us in our country since the Mueller report came out. I know that for Donald Trump and for many of his supporters, and I'm not just talking about the people who voted for him in 2016, by the way. There are many reasons that people vote for presidential candidates. Sometimes those reasons make sense to them. Sometimes they don't. I'm done holding it against someone who voted for Donald Trump. I'm done with it. I don't hold it against anyone any longer. I believe all of us make mistakes. I believe all of us do things we might regret. I think we're all called to do the next right thing. So whatever your next right thing is, I'm not going to hold 2016 against you. I'm talking about the Trump supporters, current modern day, right now, today, right now on the 26th of April, supporters of Donald Trump. When that crowd thinks about the Mueller report, they think, hey, everything really turned out well for the president there. It's just simply not true. I have read much of it. I have not yet finished it. It's only been a week. It's long, and I have not set aside adequate time to read all 440 pages, even with the redactions. I think 1,000 words of redactions, which isn't very many words overall. The implication, as Richard Painter will remind us, are substantive. But the number of words and all that, there's just a lot in it. And what is in it is a picture painted so clearly of behavior that should cause someone to say, I no longer support this person as the president of the United States. Now, that's a different question than should the person be removed from office. I think, yes, he should be removed from office. I think what he has done on a whole number of issues have earned the response of him being removed from office. No doubt in my mind about that. But I think people could come to the conclusion that he shouldn't be removed from office, but I could no longer personally support him, and there's no way in the world he should be reelected. There's no way he should be given the job again. That's just, there's just nothing reasonable about that whatsoever. What's in that Mueller report is so damning to his reputation, so damning to his ability to do his job, so damning to the confidence that people in this country can have in Donald Trump. It's just that simple. It is stunning to me, and I know that people don't want to listen to it. I don't want to read it. I know that people don't always care about what goes on in it. I know that a lot of people want to move on, but good Lord, I feel that way about so many things that matter still in my life and in the world.
I wonder what Richard thinks about this.
Is he with us?
We do got Richard.
Richard, how you doing, my friend?
Well, doing all right. We just have another week of this craziness, that's all.
Richard, I was just lamenting the fact that it's only been a week. It's exhausting.
Well, a week since we got part of the Mueller report, a whole lot of it's under those black lines, and I think that is the stuff they don't want us to see. So, that's got to be a priority. We got to help Congress. They got subpoenas out there, and they're going to have to go to the courts and get that information that's in the Mueller report, because we don't have it at this point.
Richard, have you looked over the report at all, and are there any particular redactions that really strike you? I saw one the other day that was about something about Don Jr., and that Don Jr. said he wouldn't volunteer to be interviewed. And then they said, so in response to that, redaction. And, like, that really turned up my interest. Like, did they say, so then they forced him into a grand jury situation, or what they did? Are there some particular redactions that you've read the words around it and have said, boy, that's a real place of interest to me?
Well, the whole thing. I it's hard to guess what's going on behind those black lines, but there's not enough information in this report on Trump's financial dealings. We know that Robert Mueller was investigating Trump's financial dealings, at least with respect to Russia, and we do not have a lot of information that we should have. We do not have a lot of information about Donald Trump Jr., about other Trump family members, Jared Kushner. We only have some. I can't believe that that's all there is with respect to the Trump family members of Jared Kushner. There's just a lot in there. A lot of it trying to do Roger Stone. That's a pending matter, so I gather that's been redacted. It's just a lot of stuff we don't have that the United States House and Senate need to have in order to figure out what to do next. And I think it's critically important that those subpoenas be complied with, or the United States House representatives go to court and get a judge to tell them they have to turn it over. All we're asking for is an unredacted version of the Mueller report to be shown to members of Congress behind closed doors. I mean, that's going to be a start. And it needs to happen now.
Do you think that the court proceedings on this are going to happen in any kind of a timely fashion to have an implication on the presidential election, or do you think this is going to get pushed, you know, a year and a half or 2 years out?
Well, I worry about that.
Could it take that long?
The Department of Justice is going to go in there and ask for extensions, and it's just going to get pushed out. This is one reason I believe the United States House Judiciary Committee should just have 4 weeks of hearings with whatever evidence they've got, and then vote out articles of impeachment, because there already is more than enough evidence to impeach this president. We don't need to keep hunting down more evidence. And then when there's a trial of the Senate, serve up those subpoenas and run them up to the United States Supreme Court. And remember, there's a trial that said that Chief Justice Roberts is going to be presiding over that. You remember the Clinton trial when Chief Justice Rehnquist showed up with those ridiculous gold stripes on the robe. Well, the Chief Justice,
I do remember that.
Yeah, the Chief Justice, Justice Roberts, he's going to look terrible up there if he's presiding over an impeachment trial and the United States Supreme Court is not willing to insist that evidence be turned over to the House of Representatives, which is prosecuting the case, and to the senators who will hear the case. including the full Mueller report. But in order to speed this up, I think you do have to vote out the articles of impeachment. If you don't, and the House just serves up subpoenas, those are going to wind through the district courts. There's going to be no sense of urgency in the courts, and the president's going to throw the the cog in the wheel, really try and gum the works. So that eventually maybe gets to the Supreme Court, and he's told they got to turn something over, but it's getting too close to the election and so forth. So I think that the U.S. House would be very well served to just have the hearings like they did in 1974 with Nixon, also serve the subpoenas, but have the hearings with based on what they've got, vote out articles of impeachment, send it to the Senate, and then I think the Supreme Court, they're going to be on the hot seat there. And despite all the criticisms of the Roberts Court, I still think that Chief Justice Roberts is very sensitive to the notion that this court is politicized, and I can't see him supporting the court and letting Donald Trump hold on to the evidence if there's actually an impeachment trial in the Senate with the Chief Justice who's presiding. I think that would bring the court into so much shame that even the more conservative justices, and particularly the Chief Justice, would balk at that and require the evidence to be turned over.
Well, Richard, I sure hope that you're right. Are you saying that is your argument that when the impeachment, if impeachment proceedings are happening, that would create a sense of cause so that the Congress could then seek to expedite a response to the redactions? Is that why you're saying impeachment would have to happen?
Yeah.
Like someone needs to be in harm's way there?
Well, impeachment is a major, it's set forth in the Constitution. It is an important proceeding. We've only had two impeachment trials in the history of the United States, President Johnson and Clinton. And, both of those were very politicized, but this is a very serious situation, much closer to the trial we would have had with Nixon had he been impeached instead of resigning. That ups the ante, whereas right now what we got is a congressional investigation. Well, Congress can investigate anything. They can investigate Hillary Clinton's emails for 4 years if they want. We saw that. Congress can investigate anything, and because Congress often does investigate anything for political reasons, Donald Trump could just say this is a politicized investigation. Yeah. If there's a trial in front of the Senate, you could say it's politicized, but it's right there in the Constitution how it works. And he's going to be trying to withhold evidence from the Senate for procedures set forth in the Constitution and asking the Chief Justice to go along with it because the Supreme Court could order him to turn over the evidence.
Richard, I think I'm following you here. You're suggesting that because of the constitutionality and the procedures of an impeachment trial after it comes out of the House and goes to the Senate, the trial in the Senate with the Chief Justice presiding, makes it less political than does an investigation that's just being done by the House of Representatives. You're saying that it depoliticizes it because there's a system and a structure in place which would make it more serious than just what a political investigation could. That's really an interesting argument.
Senators, as well as on the Supreme Court, because how could the Republican senators like Lindsey Graham say, well, we want to have a trial, but we don't insist that all the evidence be presented to us and to our colleagues. We want to hide the evidence.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It puts the pressure on the Supreme Court because the Chief Justice now has a role in presiding over the trial. So this puts the Supreme Court front and center if they were to try to cover for Trump and say he doesn't have to turn over the evidence. It's a much, much more serious situation, an impeachment trial, but just yet one more hearing, which he will say is just the Democratic equivalent of a Hillary email hearing.
Yeah, and he could, Hey, Richard, thanks so much. Really appreciate having you on today. Great, great, great thoughts. Thanks for squeezing us in.
Well, thank you. Very happy to speak with you.
All right. Hey, AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. This is your Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We'll be back after the break with the astrophysicist.
Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from the Bradcast. Heard every weeknight at 7 p.m., but don't worry, for now, you're in good hands with Doug, Brett, and Hunter on the one and only Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Art Beat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horob, co-host of Connections Radio, and today I'll be letting you in on a couple of awesome events happening this Saturday evening. This Saturday at 7:30 p.m., Strike Theater will be showing Strike Story Slam with the theme, Oops. The Story Slam is open to 8 competitors who throw their names in a hat, and they have up to 8 minutes to tell whatever story they want that fits the theme, Oops. There are 4 pre-registration spots open to people that sign up ahead of time, then 4 more spots available for people to sign up for on the night of the show. The audience gets to vote for their favorite story of the night, come on out and help and choose the winner. The doors open and sign-up happens at 7 p.m. The show starts at 7:30. Tickets are $10 at the door and $8 for students. Check it out on Strike Theater's website. Another event is they're picking away again this year with the 6th annual Pickin' for Autism, a night of folk and bluegrass to benefit Lionsgate Academy. To celebrate Autism Awareness Month, join them on the dance floor this Saturday at the Amsterdam Bar and Hall. Pickin' for Autism will once again bring together a vibrant and local music scene with a local charter school to spread awareness of the fascinating world of autism. All proceeds support Lionsgate Academy in their quest to be the leader in schools for students on the autism spectrum. A recent graduate of Lionsgate Academy once related autism to a piece of Swiss cheese. There are holes in the way our brains work. Some areas are solid and you are very skilled and knowledgeable, while others are just not there. Lionsgate strives to help students fill those holes and help them find a place to belong in their community. This is a 21-plus event. Doors open at 6 p.m. Music begins at 7 p.m. And there's also a raffle and a silent auction. There are $75 VIP tables still available, including 2 seated tickets and 2 T-shirts. Or you could do $15 tickets in advance or $20 at the door general admission. For more information on Lionsgate Academy and this event, visit www.lionsgateacademy.org. That's Art Beat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horob, co-host of Connections Radio Show, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Charlie.
Dad, do I have to say this next line?
How much can you get for a used Xbox?
Fine. My father is the voice of his generation, Matt McNeil.
Fantastic.
My dad loves me driving the Toyota Sienna, and the Sienna is incredibly reliable. While my dad drives the new one, mine is over 10 years old and still runs great.
A vehicle with amazing reliability, an incredible service department, and the Luther Advantage Card, you get that with Rudy Luther Toyota. We're a 2 Sienna family thanks to Rudy Luther, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
At Mother Earth Gardens, we've been selling heirloom and open pollinated plants for your backyard homestead since 1994. We research our products and we handpick every pot, trellis, and gift. So if you love 50-plus varieties of tomatoes, native planting for pollinators, and a shocking variety of annuals and perennials, make the journey to one of our 2 locations, South Minneapolis across from the Riverview Theater and Northeast at Stinson and Lowry. Small footprint, surprising selection. MotherEarthGarden.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 39. Friday, sunny with a high near 59. And Saturday, rain with a high near 39. The Minneapolis Farmers Market is opening soon with locations at Lindale, Nicollet Mall, and the Minneapolis Government Center. The Lindale location opens April 27th. They'll have meat vendors, some homestead vendors, and greenhouse vendors. As the weather gets warmer, you'll see that fresh produce. Learn more at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
Hi, Minnesota. It's Tom Hartman, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
That's right. All this is your afternoon repartee. Hey, we've been holding off Paul Wallace. Paul, so sorry to keep you waiting, but we're going to keep you waiting just a little longer because we had Richard Painter. But hey, I just want to touch base with Gary real quick, and then Randy. I know they've been waiting, and I hate to leave two fine people like that waiting. Hey, Gary, can you be real quick? What are your thoughts?
Big Mouth Trump demanded to see Obama's birth certificate for years. He led the charge, and now he cries witch hunt, and he won't even show his tax returns. Well, the moral is Republicans can dish it up, but they can't take it. They have a short memory. How about Benghazi, Whitewater, Travelgate, Vince Foster suicide, which they accused Clinton of murder, and Vince Foster on his notes said he was being harassed by Republicans. That's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate your long memory and your willingness to bring it up. Hey, Randy, what are your thoughts?
Hey, I'll be real quick, too. I just wanted to say the whole Mueller report, I think we're done here with the taxes. It's private information. I don't want to see Donald Trump. I don't want to see any candidate for – I don't want to – it's none of our business.
If yes, it is.
The IRS thinks that they're doing everything okay, I'm good with that. So if we trust the IRS – wouldn't you think, gee, if they're doing something wrong, something that we should know about, the IRS would take care of that for us. That's what we have them there in play for. Why do we need to see their taxes is my big thing. I don't need to see his private information.
Thanks, Randy. I hear it. I hear that's a perspective. I like the idea of trust and verify. If you're going to run for any office, there's just certain things that are kind of matter to the population. And I feel like that's one of those things that we should just have in our norms, just really normal things, kind of a thing you should check up on. If you're going to run for president, they ought to give you a physical, make sure you're in good physical condition that you can fulfill the job. Nothing's hanging over you, and look at your finances. Make sure there's nothing hanging over you. Totally reasonable. If you want that job, if you don't want the job of president and you want to be a private citizen, feel free to maintain all your privacy all day long. But if you step into that arena and you say, please give me that job, that you set aside certain privacies. And I believe that that's one of them. But thanks, Randy. Really appreciate you listening and always being willing to be a good sport and chipping in. Hey, astrophysicist Paul Wallace, my friend, I am sorry to not talk to you last week and then to keep you waiting here like you're just
an average
ordinary guy. You're our Friday astrophysicist. Hey, Paul, Sam is running the board. You may have chatted with Sam.
And, I noticed it wasn't Hunter, yeah.
Yeah, it's Sam. And you know what Sam said to me before the show came on? He said, hey, you having the astrophysicists on today? And then Sam, do you want to tell Paul what you said?
This is my favorite segment we have on the station is this.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, I love this segment.
favorite segment.
Break to the politics.
On the station,
wow.
Sam said.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate that.
That's why we gave you a good 3 minutes now and a good 8 minutes at the end. You know, we're really this is like a fine chocolate. It's just you can't you want to make sure not to have too much.
That's right.
Hey, so what's happening?
No harm done.
Paul, you sent two things saying, hey, here's some things we could talk about, and two of them blew my mind. Well, three of them actually, because all these things.
Okay,
but one of them is this super weird fact that somehow this is a math problem. The 13th of the month is more likely to fall on a Friday than on any other day of the week?
Yes. I heard that we have a thing at the college. Our mascot is the Scotties. And we have a thing called Scotty Math Bowl every year. It's like a math quiz. It's like a tournament, you know? And that was one of the things that came up. It is more likely for the 13th of any given month to fall on a Friday than any other day of the week.
Is this one of those like math numbers? Like I have this card trick I know how to do that revolves around the number 13 and counting up cards because there's 13 cards in a deck. Is it something?
No, it's not magic about 13. It just happens. That's a funny fact. That's the way. That's what you say because of the Friday the 13th thing. But it's just that the days are not equally. If you give me a day of the month, like the 4th or the 26th, then that day is more likely to fall on a certain day of the week than any other day of the week. And for the 13th, it happens to be Friday.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Like the 4th is more likely to be a Tuesday than some other than some other day.
Yes. Yes. And it took me like a while to sit down and really think through this and to do my research, but I am completely convinced of it now. But when I first heard that, my brain completely locked up.
You know, I will tell you, I think I think on behalf of people who work in the, in this kinds of fields, many of the sciences, what we've talking about here, astrophysicists and people that work with numbers like that, it's probably a good thing that hallucinogenic drugs are continued to be illegal. Because if they were just like randomly available, I just think people would leave that lab and just go, just keep going down the rabbit hole.
Some of them still do, maybe.
Yeah, but they have to work.
Yeah.
You're just hoping that that it would be a little harder to get. So, no theories that you have on why that is. Is it something about the number 7 or 7 days?
No, it has to do with the fact that what I did not know before, Doug, is that our calendar repeats exactly every 400 years, and I did not know that. So you only really have to average out over 400 years, not over, like, all time. So it's a 400-year cycle. And in that 400-year cycle, there are 688 times the 13th falls on a Friday.
And do you know the times it falls on in that 400-year cycle, 688 times on a Friday? How many times does it fall on a Thursday? Is that a thing that's already known at your fingertips?
Yeah, 684 times on a Thursday. Four times less on a Thursday.
All right. That is it. That's so perfect. That is a true difference. That might not be a distinction, right? Over 400 years. Because I was beginning to think, like, I think I've noticed a lot of Fridays being on the 13th. And then I thought that's just because.
You won't notice it over your lifetime.
That's just because I noticed that one when it's Friday the 13th. I sort of perk up.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that's all it is. But it is statistically more often.
Statistically, it is more likely to be a Friday.
Wow.
I
think
to be a Sunday, it's only one time less every 400 years for Sunday. 687 times for Sunday. I mean, who knew?
Not me, I can promise you that.
Not until this week.
I still feel like I don't know it. Okay, so when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about a trip to a metal asteroid named Psyche.
That's right. Psyche.
All right, so that's here when we come back with the astrophysicist Paul Wallace on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, and your afternoon Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hello, this is Brett's grandmother. You are listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trust Snap Construction at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Hello, fellow AM950 listeners. This is Jaja from Nightingale at 26 in Lindale. Come experience our delicious signature dishes and exciting rotation of inventive seasonal fare for my wife and chef, Carrie, and her team. Nightingale is the perfect place to gather for any occasion with our extensive wine, beer, and cocktail selection, along with our dedication to great service. We offer a full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., 2 award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
April showers bring May flowers, but make sure no flowers are growing out of your carpet this spring. You know that bacteria and allergens build up in your carpeting, crushing hopes and dreams of healthy indoor air. Only my friends at Zero Res clean with healthy, clean-powered water. Call Zero Res right now, 952-ZERO-RES, or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and tell them you want the AM950 special. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward. It spells the same.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
This is Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson, and you're listening to Doug, Brent Hunter, and Eric on Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
It's nice to have the Sheriff of Hennepin County give us a little bumper.
I love that guy.
Yeah, if I ever get pulled over by like the sheriff on the road, I'm going to be like, hey, call the chief. He does have him.
If I got pulled over, I would just say, hey, I'm an astrophysicist. And he would say, yeah, why do I care? See, that'll give me nothing in that situation.
Just your luck, they'll be flat earthers, and it'll just make yeah. You'll just be in even worse trouble then.
There's a pretty good chance that the police officer down there in Decatur, Georgia, could be a flat earther.
The police department in Decatur now is actually they're pretty evolved actually.
Is that right?
Not exactly. Yeah, they actually are. They do a really great job, and so have had zero, you know, have very little trouble with them over the, you know, lately. Well, so,
well, let's knock on wood, keep our fingers crossed, and all the other things.
Yeah,
that could possibly
I'm sure they're all listening, so that I'm just trying to get in good with them.
Well, we do like to say, because this goes on not only over the airwaves on the frequency AM 950 here in the Twin Cities, but it goes out over the internet. So people anywhere with access to the internet, including on the International Space Station, very well could be watching and listening now.
Ooh, I better get my science right then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're probably really busy and they won't be able to follow up as quickly as you want. That's why I assume there's no comments from the people that are living in the space station.
They're busy people. Yeah, they're listening in, but they
can listen. They can't
got,
comment. They're driving.
Right. They got a job to do.
All right. So this, I did a little Googling of this Psych 15 or 16 Psych, and this is blowing my mind. So tell the good people what this whole 16 Psych asteroid is all about.
16 Psyche. Psyche is an asteroid. It's named after the Greek. Cupid and Psyche is a story. Anyway, 16 means that it's the 16th asteroid ever discovered. It was discovered back in the mid-19th century. It's pretty big. But the weird thing about Psyche that they didn't know when they discovered it is that it's almost entirely made of iron and nickel, which is really weird. Most asteroids are just big rocks. But this one is like really dense, made almost completely of iron and nickel.
All right, so really remind weird. Us, remind us all. How do they? And back in the, you know, the 18 whatevers. How do they discover an asteroid? What's going on?
Well, they had telescopes basically that were big enough to see things that we can't see with our unaided eyes, and planets and things that orbit the sun. Let me back up. The stars, you might notice, you can go out and see the same constellation every night.
Mm-hmm.
The stars stay fixed relative to each other, right? So the same constellation is there every night. But the planets sort of move through the stars, like the stars are like a backdrop, and the planets move through the stars. So one night they're one place relative to the stars, next night they're in another place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Asteroids do the same thing. So as soon as they had telescopes that were big enough and good enough to see the asteroids, they could look at you know, this part of the sky night after night and see this asteroid moving through the stars. That's how they knew that it was an asteroid.
So sometimes the asteroids just move in a predictable pattern over 150 or 200 years, and other times they break away and they fly into our planet and smash into the moon or smash into the earth.
They could, but that's still predictable. Yeah, it's still predictable. But
Okay.
Yeah, it's still, you know, just plain old gravity doing the job. But this one was, you know, they might have thought it was a planet when they first found it, but it wasn't. It wasn't big enough to be a planet. So,
all right, so they've discovered this thing. It's big. How have they determined now that 16 Psyche is not made of rock or ice, but is made out of iron and, you know, metal?
Well, the first thing the first thing that tipped them off was they noticed it was really dense because it's big enough where it interacted with other asteroids nearby near it, and so they could tell what its mass was, and it turned out it was really dense. But also, they can bounce light off of it and tell what it's made of by looking at the spectrum of the light. So you take the light that you bounce off of it and put it through a prism, and you know how a prism breaks up white light into a rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
Different materials, different metals, different compounds, different elements have different rainbows, basically. The rainbows don't all look alike. And so you take that light, put it through a prism, and you can tell what you're looking at that way.
Now, am I right that one of the suspicions about how we got metal on the Earth was that the Earth was a rock like the others, and then an asteroid made out of metal smashed into the Earth and deposited metal here? Is that a theory?
Oh, you mean, no, that might be part of it. I don't think that's it. Asteroids made of metal are actually really rare. That's part of why we're sending a probe out to Psyche. There's plenty of iron in the Earth's crust, of course, but the amount of iron goes up as you go deeper into the Earth. In fact, we think all planets have iron in their cores, and we actually think, believe it or not, that Psyche is the leftover of an old planet or asteroid that got its outer layers blown off somehow. And we think that it's the leftover core of a planet that is no longer.
Is that because iron's more reactive or because it's more dense or both? Or
it's heavier. It's more dense.
Okay.
It's kind of like, you know, in your vinaigrette, you can see it separate out the water and the vinegar and so forth. heavier things.
You went straight to a vinaigrette. Fall. You know, if you want to understand what's going on in an asteroid made of metal, think of a vinaigrette.
So all the heavy junk falls to the center of the Earth, you know.
Love it.
So that's what happens.
Well, I'll tell you, if that did happen, that it was a planet and this was its core and the rest of it got blown off, chances are that was on the 13th, which was a Friday.
on Friday. Yeah, chances are. And if it was on the 13th, it was probably on a Friday.
It was probably on a Friday, and it was a long weekend, and it all got ruined when the planet exploded and was left. So we only have a few seconds left, but one of these times I want to talk about where this metal comes from in the cosmos. Like what?
Okay.
Stars.
That's a good story.
It is? Okay. Well, maybe next week we can talk about metal.
Yeah, man.
All right,
Supernova.
It'll be all of our bumper music will be heavy metal music.
That'd be awesome. Let's do that.
Okay, we'll do it.
I'm gonna have to ask you. Jazzy stuff. I want to be part
Sam,
of that.
Sam, you're on. Yeah, or just call in. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee. You can listen to our show anytime at AM950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.